Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. That music means our friend Aaron Wickbolt is here. He's a physical therapist at Courage Kenny, part of Alina, and we are so happy to chat it up with him. How have you been? I haven't seen you forever.
I've been doing great. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so glad. So, Aaron, can you please tell people what you do at Courage Kenny? And we're so lucky to have a Courage Kenny in Hastings, aren't we?
Yeah, so I'm a physical therapist at Courage Kenny here. We have 20 physical therapists at our clinic and 3 occupational therapists and a speech therapist. And yeah, we have continued to expand over the 8 years that I've been at Courage Kenny, and it's been great to watch the clinic grow.
And you are part of Alina, and then before we went on the air, you were talking about the Regina Hospital and United are going to come together, and it's only going to help you as a physical therapist.
Yeah, so that just happened recently. So the last 2 months, we announced the merger with United Hospital. So yeah, as our clinic, we are outpatient physical therapists, but we also staff the hospital. So we float from the clinic to the hospital. So right now, how we're staffing the hospital is we have people take a half a day or a full day over in the hospital to see the patients that are there. Yeah, and then in the future, for the continuity of care, it's going to be a lot better for, the community of Hastings and the surrounding area, because now if someone comes to our emergency room and they need to be transferred to United, that process is going to be easier to be facilitated, and then vice versa with someone coming from United down to Regina, it's going to be easier as well.
So when you head over to the hospital, what are some of the things that you do with patients?
So our main job is to determine where that patient is going to be going after their hospital stay, whether that's to back home or to a transitional care unit if they need more therapy before going home. And then also determining what type of physical therapy or occupational therapy or speech therapy services they're going to need once they do leave the hospital, whether they need to come to outpatient therapy for continued strengthening or home health. So if they need someone to come into their house, that could be occupational therapy, physical therapy, or speech therapy, coming into their house and working with them in their house before they get strong enough to actually come to outpatient physical therapy.
So you mentioned those 3 different kinds of therapies. Can you please tell our listeners what they involve or really what they're for? I sort of know, but I'm not sure.
Sure. Yeah. Common question.
I mean, occupational therapy, it sounds like we're hoping that somebody gets a job.
Gets back to work. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. So it is there's a lot of overlap between the different professions, but we really have a distinctive role in the hospital. And so I'll just touch on that. So in the hospital, physical therapy is going to assess walking, stairs, more of what we consider gross motor, so big motor skills.
Okay.
Occupational therapy is going to assess more of cognition and then more fine motor and then more of activities of daily living. So can you get dressed? Can you go to the bathroom by yourself?
Okay.
Those things that are essential that you don't really think about until you're in a position where
right.
You're really weak or you have a new disease or whatever you're going through. And then speech therapy is going to be involved in cognition as well, but then also looking at swallowing studies. So very essential in stroke patients that lose the ability to safely swallow. So we do swallow studies right at the hospital as well.
And do you also treat people that have maybe stutter problems and those types of things
Yes.
with speech therapy?
Yes, speech therapy would address that probably typically in the outpatient realm. Mm-hmm. So our speech therapist that we have, she travels between Hastings and River Falls. Our hospitals are closely linked, and we have a lot of staff that work both River Falls and Hastings. And so she's doing that outpatient in River Falls and in Hastings, and then also in the hospital as well.
And what is the typical hospital stay of somebody that you would be helping? Is it just a couple days or?
Yeah, typically a few days. 3 to 5 days would be the typical hospital stay. And then the goal would be is once the patient is medically stable to transition to home or to a different facility.
So how does it work? If somebody needs physical therapy, is it something that they have to be referred to, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we work with, there's specialized doctors that work with patients while they're in the hospital at Regina. So there's four hospitalists that specialize in managing that patient while they're there. And so they're the kind of like the quarterback of care.
Okay.
So they're the ones that are calling in physical therapy and referring for other special tests. So if they need to see a neurologist or if they need to see another specialist, they're getting that all set up. And so that can be either in the inpatient realm. So they can do that in the hospital while they're staying, or they can say, well, this is something that maybe doesn't need to be taken care of now. So they can refer that for outpatient and that person can follow up in weeks.
Can I tell you a personal story, please?
Yeah, of course.
So this winter, I don't know what happened, but I was not able to lift my right hand up very high. And how I noticed it is I keep my coffee high up on a shelf and I couldn't get it down. And I mean, I couldn't get my coffee down. I couldn't reach up that high. So I went to physical therapy at your wonderful facility. And I saw, you mentioned you have 20 physical therapists. I think I saw probably three of them. And they all kind of had different approaches, which was very interesting. I really liked. And I'm telling you, I graduated early. I think I had maybe six appointments on the books that insurance would cover. And I think I only went to four. And I was just thrilled. The only reason I went to physical therapy without really having an injury is because I've talked to you so many times and I knew that you could help me, but I'm here to tell you firsthand, it was incredible. I was so happy that I went, and I was asked many times, how do you think this happened? I wasn't sure. How do you think that did happen?
Well, first off, that's great to hear. I love to hear stories like that, and that's really what just keeps me going as a therapist.
I just love to see
the progress with patients, and just hearing stories, just that's what really inspires me and motivates me. Yeah, it sounds like you had some type of impingement of your shoulder or rotator cuff problem where
yes.
Just the muscles weren't doing what they needed to do.
When we're done here, I'll have you lift my purse, maybe.
A little heavy.
Maybe. My purse is so heavy, I will be honest with you, that if I put it on the passenger side of my car and I drive away, my seatbelt thing flashes that somebody isn't buckled in. It's my purse.
Well, maybe the strengthening exercises that the therapist gave
yes.
you. I mean,
no,
I had
those
good.
Bands. Yeah. Oh, I had good. Like light weights, and I was and then I had like a yardstick. Because I didn't have a cane. They told me I could use a cane, and I'm like, I don't have a cane.
Well, I'm glad they could help you.
Oh, my gosh. I was so happy, and I felt a difference right away, and I kept working because I knew that I was making progress, and now I'm great, so I'll come back again if I need help, but I'm a big believer in what you do, so thank you. I saw a physical therapist, didn't I? That's,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Touching back on just the differences between the professions, occupational therapy in the outpatient setting, they would work with shoulders, elbows, and hands as well. So when we do get into the outpatient setting, occupational therapists will see your condition. So again, a lot of overlap in what we do see, but they would also see you for that as well.
What is frozen shoulder? I'm just like popcorning in my head.
Sorry. Oh, sure. Frozen shoulder.
Is it a real thing?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yes, it is. And it's probably one of the more difficult things to work with as a therapist
okay.
and really frustrating condition. So what happens with frozen shoulder is you have what's called a capsule around your joint, and it's ligaments that really stabilize your joint. And for whatever reason, sometimes it can be after trauma, sometimes it can be there's a couple of risk factors like diabetes that can contribute to it as well. For whatever reason, that shoulder is going to tighten up and it's going to freeze, then it's going to be frozen, and then it's going to thaw out. And that's a really difficult thing to talk about with patients because it can be a few weeks or it can be months upon months, over a year at times. So it's a really frustrating thing to deal with as a patient and then also as a therapist because we want to see people get better. And
right.
really, sometimes we just, whatever we do, sometimes it is difficult to deal with. So usually an orthopedic doctor is involved. Sometimes an injection is needed to calm down the joint because the joint just becomes really red and inflamed and tightens up.
Just on its own, or is it caused by something?
At times, yes, on its own. And then, like I said, it can sometimes happen because you have like a pre-existing condition like diabetes. Usually in females around 40 to 60 years old is a high indicator of that as well. And then sometimes after trauma, sometimes after a surgery, that joint will tighten up.
What is the hardest besides that? What are some of the other hard things that really challenge you as a physical therapist?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say chronic back pain, because chronic back pain is something that, you know, back pain almost everybody is going to go through.
At some time in their life.
And a lot of times people that have back pain are going to have recurrences of back pain. What happens with chronic back pain is any back pain that is over 3 months. And what will happen is our tissue will tell us if it's been harmed. And so that's pain. That's what we perceive as pain in our brain. But if you've had pain for over 3 months, that tissue is probably not in harm anymore. But now we have more of a psychological.
Is that where Doan's pills come in? Remember those?
I guess I'm not familiar.
You're too young for Doan's pills. Doan's pills were something about backache pain. My grandma was always taking Doan's pills for her back.
Yeah, not familiar with
it. You have to Google that later. Yeah, our older listeners will know what that means.
Yeah, but anyway, with chronic back pain, it's now you start to get kind of a
psychological
response to it. Your body actually reinforces the neural connections from the receptors in your back to your brain saying that you're in pain. And so now you're having to fight against that. So now you're having to fight against the psychological kind of construct that you're dealing with. And it really is a tough thing, and something that early in my career I didn't like to tackle because it was so complex. There are so many different factors that were going on. But now as I get into my career, I actually really enjoy treating it because it is so complex. And usually I like to treat it with just being really honest with the person that's dealing with it and saying, you have to be invested and you have to really invest into physical therapy for at least, this is going to be a 6 to 12 week process. This is not going to be something where, you know, with more acute back pain, I would say you should be good after, you know, 3 to 6 weeks. This typically is going to clear up and you should be okay and you'll be able to get back to everything that you're dealing with. But if someone's been dealing with something for 10 years, I really want to get them invested into physical therapy. And then also really being honest and saying, I think we need to potentially have mental health services involved, involving acupuncture, involving a specialist.
Wow.
Getting them in the pool, doing pool therapy. We do have pool therapy at our clinic at the YMCA, and we have 3 great pool therapists that work with people that have chronic back pain. So really just making sure that person understands that you can get better, you can be able to move again and do everything that you love to do, but you have to really invest your time into getting back.
You know, a chronic pain like that really does affect our psyche, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and I think a lot of people
think that they need to live with pain, and you're saying they don't.
Yeah, they recognize that they have the pain, but they don't think anybody can do anything for them, potentially because they've been kind of tossed around the medical system.
Or do we just think it's part of getting older, maybe?
That's another misconception too. And I'll have a lot of patients that will say to me, well, I'm just getting old.
Right.
And I just have to live with this. And I say, well, not necessarily. I mean, this is something definitely we can try to address, and we can pull in all these different avenues, and let's try to exhaust exactly what I talked about, you know, acupuncture and pulling in specialists for the back, trying different modalities and trying exercise and getting them on a good exercise routine. Let's try that first before you just say, I'm just getting old.
Our bodies do creak though more as we get old. What's up with that?
Well, it's inevitable.
But it's true.
Yeah, we are going to have degeneration. You know, typically if you take even a healthy back and you take an x-ray or an MRI of that back at 50, 60, 70 years old, there's going to be arthritis. There's going to be degeneration of the discs. They're going to start to narrow and they're going to start to get smaller. That's just part of life. But it is really about figuring out how to deal with that and figuring out strategies to try to complete exercises that really are going to keep you moving and doing the things that you want to do.
So I know that you're big on keeping our core sound, so that because that's kind of the epicenter of everything, right? Or you told me something about having a strong core.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I think really there's a couple factors that happen throughout our life, and I think one of them is that we sit a lot as a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you sit, what happens is your front muscles, they become tight, and some of the muscles that kind of attach to your pelvis, they become tight, and then the big core muscles, they become weak because we have nice comfortable chairs, and
right.
We spend our life a lot of times sitting, and so then if we try to, you know, push ourselves out of our comfort level, we develop pain because our core is not strong enough to control that movement. So the best thing you can do is just try to figure out what exercise is going to be beneficial for you. Some people like having more of a regimen that's strict, like physical therapy program potentially, or maybe doing yoga, tai chi, something like
that. So those are kind of stretching things, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So what is the best advice you can give us to, no offense, but to avoid coming to physical therapy?
Yeah. Find what you love to do. Think about just trying different activities, try to find something that you love to do, whether that's a sport or whether that's a class, whether you're...
Just move.
Just keep moving. Just try to figure out what you love to do. Some people like to exercise with a group of people. Some people like to do it individually. Some people like to run. Some people like to bike. You know, find what you love to do, but just go out and do it. And some people think that you have to be on this, you know, perfect plan of working out, and you have to do, you know, weight training 3 days a week and running, you know, 2 days a week or whatever it's going to be. But really the thing is that 10 minutes of exercise is better than nothing. So even if you're getting up and you are moving for 10 minutes, you're starting on a plan. And give yourself patience and try to figure out what you love to do.
Great advice. Eric Whipbold, if people want to get in touch with you and learn more, how can they do that?
So we're located at the YMCA, Courage Kenny of Alina. You can walk in, just talk with our front desk if you'd like. You can ask for a referral from your doctor for physical therapy as well. We do direct referral as well, so some insurances will actually cover. You don't have to see your doctor. You can come right to the physical therapist. The other clinic that we just opened up about a year and a half ago is the Ninja Clinic, so the specialty building that's right next to the hospital. So any of those clinics, you can just walk right in and talk with our receptionist there, and they'll be able to get you set up with physical therapy.
Love it. Great to see you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Aaron Whipbold, he's a physical therapist at Courage Kenny, which is part of Alina, and what a wonderful place it is. We're very fortunate to have it in Hastings, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.